Thanks for listening to the Voice Ministries podcast. To get more information about Voice, or if you were blessed by this message and want to sow into our ministry, go to our website at voiceministries.com.
Going to take a moment to go through the word. We're going to stay up here and worship, and I want to take time to really lay hands on people and pray for healing, and most of all to pray for an impartation of God's Spirit resting upon us. And I just felt that really strong this morning in the prayer room and before coming here. And so we want to stay in this place of worship right now. But there's a few things that I feel like you can really take hold of tonight and really maybe help you through your journey right now in the Lord. The kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy. We know that the kingdom of God is. But when you hear what happened in Las Vegas, and that's kind of what I want to address a little bit tonight, about how do we function and how do we move in the midst of hearing such devastating things, because when you hear of that, you get shocked. You're shocked about what took place. You can't believe that this is happening to people. And you think about the family members. And you think of just everything that took place and what they're going through. And then you ask that question, why? That's the big one. Why? Why? And I think that's what everybody's trying to figure out right now. Why? Why did this happen? How did it happen? What was the intention behind this tragedy that took place in Las Vegas? And I can kind of weave this together and share a few things with you, and I will share a few thoughts that I have, but I'm going to be really straight with you and just say this, that I'll tell you exactly what happened. It was the manifestation of evil and demonic activity upon a man that allowed himself to get in that place to do that. We're dealing with a lot of evil and a lot of demonic activity, and you need to call it for what it is. God calls us into the kingdom of righteousness and peace and joy. But around us, that's not the way it is. And I wanted to challenge all of you, and there's a few of us here tonight, I want to challenge you of how are you going to function in this? How are you going to walk through this? How is this going to affect your walk with Jesus? And I kind of want to hit this thought pattern a little bit, that our minds, okay, can become almost a playground for the enemy, because he can shoot things at us. He can sway our emotions and sometimes even give us things that we think are of the Lord, because he's always trying to deceive us and lead us away from being those people that reside in the place of the Spirit and trust in the word of the Lord. And so I felt like as I seen the things that were shared and the things that people have said, man, it affects us. And my warning to you and to me is not to allow these type of disasters, these type of tragedies, to take you out of who you are in Christ and pull you into a place that you shouldn't be. The Lord doesn't, he wants us to pray. He wants us to have compassion. He wants us to do whatever we can, but we cannot get in that place of, oh my, what's happening? And to lose heart and allow fear to have its way in our lives. We can't allow that to happen. God wants to bring us into that place of peace. And the enemy continually wants to rob you of your peace. He's always trying to rob you of your peace. And I want to encourage you that when you see things like this happening, don't allow it to rob your peace. Tonight, the Lord is leading us into that place of worship, in that place of his presence. And it's very easy how situations like that can alter your state of where you're at. Like, you can be in a place with the Lord And you can really be praying. And you know, as hard as it is sometimes to get in that place to hear His voice and to rest and have our hands open to receive and to sense His presence, and we get in that place and all of a sudden we can feel Him. We know that He's there. Or we know that we're in a good place because we're meditating upon truth. And so we walk out of that place, and then we walk into a place where we turn on the TV or we look at our phones, and all of a sudden we're jerked out of that place of peace. I'm going to encourage all of you in this room and in this ministry and in the kingdom is to be aware of the presence of God and not allow the enemy to alter your state of living in His presence. The enemy is all about trying to alter your state where you begin to think in ways that you shouldn't think, meaning thinking not about the kingdom. I also want to say this, that every day there's going to be trouble. Don't focus on it so much. Every day you're going to have where you're going to see or hear about trouble. Every day there's going to be loss. Every day there's a battle. Every day, and even as you grow more and more in community and family, you know, things are going to hit part of that family and it's going to be tough. I know of a lot of people right now that are suffering physically and going through so much right now. And so I want to just say this, a blanket statement. You're going to have it. You're going to have it. It's how you respond to it. And Jesus made that really clear. Jesus made it very clear. Jesus knew what was going on around Him. Some people say maybe you shouldn't even watch the news or anything. Well, I kind of differ a little bit with that because I feel you need to know what's going on so that we can pray. I mean, in the house of prayer, we've been interceding for Houston, interceding for Florida, interceding for Puerto Rico, interceding for Las Vegas, and all the people in the tragedy. And you know, when something like this happens, you start thinking sometimes in the ways, how is it going to affect our nation? Who was this guy? Is this terrorist attack? What is this? And so, you know that this stuff is going to keep happening. God says that the spirit of murder is going to increase at the end of the age. And so as everybody tries to figure out who this guy was, I can tell you that he was completely, absolutely apprehended by demonic forces that caused him to do such evil and hatred. That's what it was. So they'll try to tell you what it was. No, it was demonic. It was evil. So how do you sustain your peace and your joy in the midst of bad news? How do you do that? Well, it's the way that God has always spoke to us. You dwell and you live in the kingdom understanding 24/7. And you relate everything that functions around you in this society according to the kingdom of God and how He sees it. That's how you make it through. You don't get away from dwelling in the kingdom understanding or the word of God. You don't let that bad news have its way. You walk in righteousness, meaning you walk in the right things of the Lord. And He is your peace. And we've always said this, Matthew 6:33, you know, to seek first the kingdom of God. I guess what I'm saying is this. We have to learn to live in the kingdom in righteousness, in peace and joy, in the midst of the tension. You follow me? This tension is going to keep coming. It's going to either hijack you and take you out of where you are, and you're going to get sucked into it when you can be in the presence and trusting in the word of the Lord. Or that tension is going to either cause you to say, I'm staying exactly where I need to stay with God. I'm going to trust Him. Look in Luke 13. This is a different type of scripture. I heard this shared, and I wanted to share this. This is Luke 13. And this just shows you that life, things happen in life. Mortality, we're like a vapor. We're here today, gone tomorrow. Every one of you in this room, we're going to cross over unless He comes back before that happens. So you just got to know it's going to happen. And so sometimes life is just life. And every day, and if you look at the scripture, it says, it was a call to repentance, but it starts with verse chapter 13, verse 1, it says, "Now on the same occasion, there were some present who reported to him about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mixed with their sacrifices. And Jesus said to them, 'Do you suppose,'" this is Jesus talking to them, "'do you suppose that these Galileans were greater sinners than all the other Galileans because they suffered this fate?'" Do you think all those people that died in Las Vegas were greater sinners? And that's why they died? "I tell you this, no," Jesus said, "no, they weren't greater sinners. But unless you repent, you will all likewise perish." There were things happening. Then he goes on to say in verse 4, "Or do you suppose that those 18 on whom the tower in Siloam fell and killed them were worse culprits than all the men who live in Jerusalem?" There was a construction crew working on a tower, and the tower fell, and 18 men died. Jesus was aware of what was going on socially, but yet he was walking in the kingdom. And he says, "I tell you, no, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish." Jesus was aware of everything going on. And basically what that scripture shares with me is that things are going to happen. Those 18 guys died. It was an accident working on a tower. And Jesus wanted to talk about it. And what he said was, "Listen, those 18 guys are gone." And whoever he was speaking to in that moment, he's saying, the same thing is going to happen to you unless you repent and turn to me. Do you get it? Life is life. Life is going to happen. Man, I'm going to move to Florida. It's beautiful down there. And all of a sudden you go down there on the coast and you're enjoying it and you're catching some fish. And then all of a sudden life shows up. Because life will catch up with you no matter where you go. And the same thing is going to happen. You don't go someplace to thinking, if I go here, unless you hear from the Lord, everything's going to be okay, because life shows up, and either you're going to choose to walk in the kingdom and the peace and the righteousness of God, or you're going to walk in life, which is what Jesus was speaking about in that point. Jesus knew what was going on. Jesus knows what's going on. So what I'm going to challenge all of you with and myself is align yourself with the peace of Jesus. Align yourself with the understanding of God. Align yourself in a right relationship, because that's walking out in a righteous way, a right relationship with God. And so even when things look bad, learn to be sustained by the joy that He brings because you spend time with Him. Learn to be sustained in that way, walking with God. How you do that is to be able to get an eternal view about eternity. You're headed to eternity. And that's no pie in the sky. That's just a reality. That's a priority. And never let what's going on around in the world. Don't allow all your drama to take you away from dwelling in the presence of God. Wage war on your drama in Jesus' name. Amen. Don't allow it to have its way. I guess what I'm saying is, do whatever it takes to have a spiritual perspective. And have a spiritual perspective that lines up with the Word. I think there's a lot of teaching right now and a lot of things out there where somebody gets something that's real slick and real cool and they have this interpretation and they build something off of it. And I believe that sometimes a lot of that stuff is just the enemy trying to get you away from dwelling in the presence of God. It's always going to be about you and intimacy with the Lord and knowing Him. So be very careful about all the things you hear, especially slick things. I think, like even tonight, God's wanting to tune us into the place of His divine tuning so that we can sing onto Him, we can play onto Him. We're in that place of divine unity. That's the song that's going to change things in the earth. That's the song. Amen. God is real. Life happens. Get a spiritual perspective. Don't let the tension of the things that's happening in the world pull you away. Jesus always had kingdom awareness in the Father's perspective. So I'm asking you, and I'm challenging you and myself, every day have a kingdom awareness and not a worldly perspective, but a spiritual one. Don't allow all this evil in the things that are happening. Pray, yes. Intercede for them. Cry out for them. ache for them, grieve for them. But the fact is this, keep your eternal perspective and your kingdom awareness in every current situation that we're in. Make a decision to live in joy and peace and kingdom. Be sensitive and live in it. The why. And all I could sing the other day in the prayer room as we were praying for them on Monday was that let Jesus be the why. Let Jesus, even in the why, and they're saying, why did this happen? That somehow they find Jesus even in the why, even in the pain. And they find him as the comforter. It's the last thing, and we're just going to, I just really feel like to pray for you guys and to lay hands on you. And you don't have to come up if you don't want to. That's fine, but I just have sensed it all morning. There is a prayer that's essential for you and for me to be positioned in the things of God. And this prayer is found in the Song of Solomon. And the text is Song of Solomon, chapter 1, verse 4. And this text says this, draw me, and we will run after you. Draw me. And the result of that drawing is that the king has brought me into his chambers. He's brought me into that place of intimacy. He's brought me into that place that I'm one with him. Draw me. I'm going to challenge all of you tonight. Ask God to help you, to draw you, to draw yourself to him. That spiritual hunger. You know, we're all hungry for something. Not only food, other things we get hungry for. And that's just natural urges that we have. But I'm asking you, don't allow what motivates you to action be something other than the drawing of God and the intimacy that you can find in him and that you're with him in this place. And that causes you to move in action to walk out your life because of a place of intimacy, not just because you felt something to do something. I thought I heard God. Rise above all the urges of life and rise above all the lust of life and rise above of the draw of the flesh and just some kind of mental ascent and come into the place where you say, draw me into that place that I'm hungry for you, that everyone knows it's you, has nothing to do with me. I'm nothing without you. And then he calls you into that place, into his chambers, and you become one with him in a beautiful, intimate relationship because now your heart is his heart. That's what he's asking. That's what he's challenging us. Oh my word, it's not about some kind of what we're going to accomplish. It's about being in his presence and living in that place. Because if you don't live there, I guarantee you, your mind is an assault and your unrenewed state will draw you into things that you think's God. But because you didn't spend time in the place with him and hear his voice, you begin to move in different places. And it might even be good, but I'm warning you. I'm warning you. Ask yourself to say, draw me, Lord. Draw me. Draw me into that place. It's not something created by man. It's a supernatural hunger that comes because he says, I will draw near to you. When you say, draw me, and you draw near and say, come, Lord, it's him. He responds, and he does a supernatural work in you. And then all of a sudden, things start shifting. Our actions are not motivated by a self life. They're motivated by the spirit life. And that's what he's asking. Will you be a spirit man? Will you be a spirit woman? Will you be a spirit mother, a father, a brother, a sister? Will you? He's asking us. He's challenging us. He's trying to motivate us. As we lift our desire for the Lord higher and higher above other desires, we begin to determine that he and he alone will feed and satisfy this hunger. And then what happens is that we become overcomers. And then we help other brothers and sisters to become overcomers. The enemy is assaulting the body of Christ. God's creative act. I just want the worship team to come on up again. I just want us to get into a place. Just a couple more things. This is why I cry out and say, draw me. Because I know that I need him to enlarge my desires. If I don't make myself available to him, I won't be awakened and he won't awaken me. So Lord, I ask tonight that you draw us. There's a small group of us here, but God, you died for every person here. You love them so much, so much. Why don't you just stand? In order for us to accomplish this hunger and allow this to happen, we have to present ourselves before him. I'm going to ask you to present yourself before him tonight. Just present yourself before him so that this hunger can be accomplished. We present ourselves before you, Lord. We trust in you. We wait. We learn to wait on you. We desire to live Jesus. Let the Lord write your story tonight. Let him begin a new chapter. Realize that the church can arise, that you can arise. The church arose in the time of Nero. The underground church arises in China. I'm just going to ask you if you would like to come forward. I just felt like the Lord just wanted me to simply just lay hands. And it says in the scripture to lay hands, to fan the flame, and that the presence of God would begin to increase in hunger, our decision. I also want you to agree with me tonight that the Lord's going to break the pain that's in people's bodies tonight to bring forth healing. So I just want you guys to come forward, if you would. And I want them to just worship for one moment over you. And then I just want to lay hands. I just want to pray for to activate the presence even more in your life. So just present yourself before him. Just ask him to draw you near, to waken you even more. And this is really needful in men and women that have been in the faith for a long time. You haven't gotten it all. You need more. We all do. Yes, God. Come, Holy Spirit. Come. Draw us. We present ourselves before you. We present ourselves before you. Freedom tonight. Lord, we come in the place of agreement that your desire is to draw us into that place with you. That is your desire. We come into agreement that that is your word, that that is your love. And so we also come in agreement. Every mindset and thought that came into our minds, we rebuke it in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. These mindsets of passivity, these mindsets of dwelling and being daydreaming, we come against them in Jesus' name. And we know that you've called us to dwell in your midst, to dwell in your presence, to live in your fire, to love the way you've called us to love, to lay hands on the sick and they will be healed in Jesus' name. Let your kingdom come. Kingdom of righteousness, the kingdom of peace, and the kingdom of joy. Let it have its way. Let it exalt itself in all of our lives here tonight. Fire, Holy Spirit, shift us tonight. I pray against all insomnia, the enemy trying to tire us out. Come against it in Jesus' name. For peaceful rest and sleep, God, I ask that you enlarge our desires. Enlarge our desire here tonight as we cry out as the bride of Christ and say, draw me, draw me. God, I just believe that spiritual hunger is going to increase because we're asking tonight, draw me. We cry out, draw us, God. And we will run with you. We will come into your chambers because we know you and you know us. Thank you, God. This day forward, we will not get sucked in to what's happening across the earth, but we'll keep a kingdom perspective in everything. Yes, God. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, Lord. Holy Spirit, thank you. Yes, Lord. Yes, God. We believe that this hunger can be accomplished within us. We believe it in Jesus' name, that it will increase and that our spirits would be awakened and our voices would be heard from a place of joy, from a place of peace, from a place of walking rightly with God, righteousness. Yes, Lord. Thank you. Thank you. Lord, by faith, I just laid hands to activate more and more and to fan the flame that's on every man and woman in this place. Thank you, God. We love you. Yes, God. And we will keep praying for the sick. We will keep praying for restoration. Even in the midst of the pain, we will walk out the kingdom. Even if we suffer reproach from those who look down on us, we will walk out the kingdom. Yes, God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your presence. Thank you. Thanks, Jesus. Let this kind of stay and just worship a little bit. If you need prayer specifically for anything that you need healing on, I'd be glad to pray for you. Thank you, Lord. Thanks, Lord. Thanks for this, man, this striking, what is it, strike fire, this strike group of your warriors, God. God, let things just be set in them as we humble ourselves before you. Called us to stand now. So Lord, we come in agreement with Luke chapter 13. We repent. We repent, God. We repent. We don't want to be an unfruitful fig tree. We want to be fruitful. We don't want to be cut down. We want to bear fruit. God, I pray that every man and woman, no matter what their circumstances, that their fruit will increase. I pray this in Jesus' name, according to the desire that they have to be drawn close to you. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. We to exalt our ideas above your word. Who are we? Oh Lord, you laugh at the wisdom of man. Thank you, Lord, that you've given us eyes to see. So Lord, help us to have humble hearts. Thank you for forgiving me of my sins and never giving up on me. Thank you. Thank you for freedom. Thank you for the wisdom of knowing that we're called to worship. This is who we are. Thank you. We pray for every church and ministry across the land. Visit them and cause their heart's desire to be drawn into that place with you. Bring that unified song across this land, only how you do it. No agendas, just you, Jesus. Oh, Lord, Holy Spirit. Get the orchestra tuned up. Get the symphony ready, God. You love us. You can deal with that out-of-tune stuff. But your desire is to bring us into tune. with you, our heartstrings, God. Thank you. Thank you. Bless everybody here. Watch over them. In Jesus' name. Amen. If anybody does want to be prayed for healing, feel free to come on up.